I'm broken, I am encouraged. Been cut down and I'm lifted up. I feel love when I'm in harvest word assembly.
Welcome to Harvest Word Assembly.
Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name forever. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Please sit down comfortably. I think it is just important for me to do this part of the assignment, which is to preach or teach, whichever way. But I will not hold back. If the Lord will want me to, thank you, Lord. You see, what is very, very interesting about the works of the Lord is that our desires to do the works of the Lord, to walk the works of God, are not enough. The Lord Himself must supply the energy, the resource, the anointing. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
It looks to me more like it is him that the Lord has helped that works the works of the Lord. How God anointed Jesus, Christ of Nazareth, with what? With the Holy Ghost and with power. And he went about doing good. Doing good is not in human capacity. It's not natural with man. It's not commonplace for man. It's not natural with man. Doing good. That's why Jesus had to bring that mantra that other day. He said, no man is good. Because it's not natural with man. Because we don't even understand good. We don't. In fact, the very fall of man is for us to think we understand good. That's the very fall of man. The temptation was for us to think we can know good and evil on our own. It's God's prerogative. The original intent of God is that man should see through his eyes, so that it is what God calls good that is good. But man wants to independently know good from evil. So, and we are still in that crisis today. Sometimes when God is doing a good work with you, but because it's not nice, you say it is evil. Because it doesn't follow your trend. Your analysis of it is not nice. So you say, oh, this is not good. In fact, in the first place, it's not in man's place to know good from evil. So they ate the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they came to a place where man could on his own say, this is good and this is evil. So he missed the mark. That was the fall of man. That's the short story of the fall of man. If he missed the mark the day he developed the competence to know on his own. And when I'm talking about knowing, I'm talking about judgment. That dimension is supposed to be God's prerogative. It is what he calls good that should be good. So Satan was convincing to say, this that he said he shouldn't take is actually not bad after all. Because if you take it, you will be as God, knowing good. Do you get it? You are already created in his image. But he wants you to be as God. That is living independent of God. Where man first missed the mark is to feel he could be correct on his own. I should know. By now I should know what is good and what is evil. And it is God's prerogative. Am I communicating this morning? And Jesus went about doing good. And how did he come about that? You remember he told us, some of these things he already told us. He said, whatever I see the Father do. That's why I don't feel bad if I pray for the sick and they are not. Because we must be able to capture the heart of the Spirit. God was correcting me last week while we buried one of our sisters. And I was saying that, well, we can't stop death. And God said, shut up. Why did I ask you to raise the dead? Consult God on every... Even if the dead is in the mortuary, it doesn't give it... It doesn't make it the final. It's what he says. God bless you, sir. So Jesus said, whatever I see the Father do, that I do. Oh. So I think what we should be looking for rightly is how to capture what the Father is doing. The problem is that we already know. Do you get me? We already know. We know success. We have enough templates. So some places where we need to walk away, we won't walk away. We say, this is the sign. This is the... You imagine Jesus walking away from the crowd when he's called to do ministry. How many preachers walk away from the crowd? You look for more. But the more Jesus walked away, the more they were looking for him. What a mystery. We need to bring back such levels of ministry where God commands the attention of nations. They will cross the rivers, they will cross the sea, they will climb the mountains. They won't consider the ambience, they will stay. One day Jesus said to all of them, let all of them sit on the grass. And when he was done, he said we shouldn't allow them go without food. And when it was time to feed them, there was no distraction. The caterers among them were not called. He just said, what do you have? Because Jesus knew that what will fill the crowd is already amongst the crowd. He didn't have a ministry that had sleepless nights. He knew what will fill the crowd was among the crowd. So he said, what do you have? Peter said, have to feed who? If at all we have anything, where? What? And he said, what do you have? And one of them conducted the search and actually found out there was a meal that is just enough for one. And so Jesus was going to show them another dimension of God, which is multiplication. And say, okay, bring what you have. Some of the times, the struggle you go through is not necessary. It's because you can't see God. Because sometimes the things you ignore, it was is required to take you forward. It's just there. When they got to Mara, they just left the Red Sea. And it's as if, you know, where God, have you ever felt that way? That when you see a mighty visitation of the hand of God in a miracle, you feel like you'll never be challenged again in your life. Has it ever happened to you? That, wow! I remembered when I had a boy, the baby boy, I felt, wow, power of God. Wow! Wow! And I didn't know bigger things are coming. How many of you have felt like you'll never be challenged when you saw the hand of God, mighty hand of God? It was like Mary, it was like Moses, when he got the rod, the same rod. I don't know who I'm talking to. The same rod that you have been living with, the same bread that's been within the crowd, the same. But the season of turnaround came. I'm speaking about somebody. The season of turnaround came. Is the same rod that was in the hand of Moses. When the season of turnaround came, when they left Egypt, they saw the Red Sea parted. And it was, wow, we will follow this God anywhere. It's a lie. One very thing that I have studied by scripture and by experience is that man forgets easily. No matter how magnificent the miracle, it will fizzle out. What do you say to a man who was healed of blindness and he didn't come back to Jesus? The euphoria took him away. Look at somebody's face and say, you really forget. You forget. Especially when it is good stuff. When it's good stuff. When it is bad stuff, you can hold on to it like forever. And the enemy can use it to ruin your life. Some of you have the stories of your father's uncle and his great grandfather's uncle. So there is one place that none of them goes to in your village. So the first time you were going to your village, they told you the same story. And you are preparing now to tell it to your children. So God always has to do this dynamic of bringing us to the place of remember not and forget not. A balance. A dynamics of remember not, then forget not. Because he knows there is a dimension of you that makes the things of God easily fizzle out. It is the fallen nature of man. That the things of God don't really stay. That's why he said you should strive earnestly so that this thing does not sleep. So they just left the Red Sea and they felt it's going to be wow all the way. And the guys that left the Red Sea, they just took a few days' journey. They came to a place called Marah. And I thought what they would do was to just sing, I know who I believe, I worship the Lord. They started murmuring. They said, Moses, okay, are you sure it is Jehovah that brought us out? I'm going somewhere this morning because they have come to a place of bitter waters. The waters were bitter. And when the waters are bitter, life becomes bitter. I think the Red Sea is enough reference. You don't get what I'm saying. What? You see, because you read these things in scripture, you do not try. Have you ever been on a sea before? On a sea. Maybe on travel. Then on the sea. Imagine that sea parted. Not just for a few seconds. Parted for about 600,000 people to pass. Some of you say, if I was there in that day, I can never doubt God again. That one is a lie. I know a man of God who God raised from the dead. and he still became a lesbian. I mean, an homosexual or gay. Is the woman known that is... He said, if that miracle just happens to me, I'm just going to become captured in the glory realms. One day, can I preach? Because you are getting bored of me. One day, the rich man and Lazarus got to the other side, and the rich man said, please, let's do what? Help me to send. Give me a chance to do what? To go and tell my guys there that say, this thing is real. What did God tell him? He said, they have with them Moses and Elijah. They have themselves the prophets. They have with them Moses and the prophet. They have with them the living that carries the word of the Lord. Hear me? The fact that a man that came from the dead, who said he saw heaven, came to talk to you, does not mean you are going to carry a presence that will change you forever. That's what God was trying to say. And still, it's not a guarantee. That's a very bad word. It's not a guarantee that because God has taken you to hell before, you are going to worship God forever. You know what I'm saying? Man forgets. When they got to Marah, that the waters were bitter, God said to Moses, look around, there is a tree right in Marah. Cut it. I'm still speaking to that person. That there is something that is not far-fetched that heaven wants to use. You just only need to see. He said, cut the tree and put it in the water. The soil, the same water that powered that tree is bitter. The supply to that tree is bitter. It was not imported. It's around. The fish and the loaves were not far-fetched. They were in the midst of the crowd. And God is saying, I should tell you that if only you can look to him, it's not far-fetched. It's with you. So Jesus said, whatever I see the Father do, that is what I do. That is what I do. The other side, he said, I can of myself do nothing. I can of myself do nothing. One thing I do is I hear. May the Lord activate the two dimensions that sustains life in you. It is sight and hearing. If you must live the life and do the works, your sight must be activated. Jesus says, whatever I see the Father do. And in John 5:30, he said, I can of myself do nothing. I hear. Rado shatabania. I hear. Say, I hear. If that's what Jesus do, come with me. Give me another 15 minutes. I will rest my case. You see, mistakes that we often make, Toby, about the grace and the flow of the Spirit of God and His anointing is that we think it is what we just collect for keep and begin to use. Let me tell you the secret I've discovered. The anointing is not in a reservoir. You know how it flows. You plug into it. When you plug into the source, it flows. There is no portion you take away and keep and become independent of the source. No. That's why if you unplug, you are as if you are never be anointed. But you see, some of us think when we go to pray, I'm going to 45 days fasting. So you think when you are fasting, the thing is accumulating. It's accumulating. And when it has become full, you come back and say, yes, I'm loaded now. Then when you are about to exhaust it again, you go, no, no, no. God does not give the capacity for you to be independent of him. No. So how do you plug in? See. Here. If you see and hear, you will forever be correct. People were worried. Your friend Lazarus is dying. He couldn't see movement yet. He didn't move. And people said, this guy could be wicked. He could as well have been seen as wicked. Oh, my goodness. While we pastored years back, my ladies' fellowship, my ladies' fellowship leader died. She died somewhere in Ikeja here, in Modern Child Hospital. And everybody said, call Pastor Ayo. Call Pastor Ayo. Okay, before she died, I came in the afternoon to the hospital. And I said to her, I said, the Lord said, I should tell you that you have passed from death to life. And she said to me, yes, that's what I've been waiting for. I receive it. And I called her husband outside. I said, she has passed from death to life. And the husband said, I believe. And I moved away from there like a commander. She has passed from death to life. When it was 11, I'm breathing. 11 in the night, I'm breathing changed. And everybody called me. Her breathing has changed. So I came down and I saw her. I said, but you have the word. She could not hear me well again. But she just kept saying, Versailles, sing that song. Sing that song. Sing that song. I said, which one? She said, I'm in pain. Sing that song. I sang a song. She said, then sing. Then I got the song. That was her favorite. And I was singing the song. Then she calmed down and started smiling. And she looked at me and said, I've passed from death to life. And she began to sing. And my faith rose. And I said it. Makadabashata. I said it. I was calling the doctor. I said, you soon take this oxygen away because she was smiling. She said, I'll remove it myself. She spoke. He said, Pastor, sing this psalm. I kept singing it. I felt I was releasing the power. Releasing the power. And the Lord said to me, you stop singing when it's 12:15. You will stop singing. So I began to rejoice. I told her husband, I said, I will stop singing when it's 12:15. As the Lord lives, Makarabashanda. And when it was 12:15, she said bye-bye and closed her eyes and she left. And I also said, Pastor, she has passed from death to life. I said, this one is a joke. Leave the thing. So the doctors came. They certified her dead. They moved everybody out. The husband said, you can't move Pastor Ayo out. I said, you can't move me out. So I carried my head. I touched her head. I breathed. I said, this is the glorious part of my ministry. The dead is rising. And I stayed there for 30 minutes. Doing all kind of spiritual gymnastic. I would try out laying my cloth on her. Then the doctors came and said, sorry, Pastor, please. Please, can you please lower your voice a little? There is a surgery that's just concluded and the patient wants to rest. I said, please don't worry. Just give me 30 more minutes. Give me 30 more minutes. We are going to come out and meet you, both of us. Then when it's another 15 minutes, I heard the Lord. He said, you do not hear. Say, you don't hear. I said, God, but you told me. He said, hearing is not just in the sound. Hearing is in interpretation. Hearing is in understanding. Be careful how you hear. She has passed from death to life. She's not here again. Hey! I said, she has gone. She said, yes. He said, yes. What kind of shame? How will I come out of this room? What will I tell the doctor? Will I go back and tell them to come and pack this body? Will I tell the husband that she has now passed away? And everybody, including her mom, they were sitting down at the reception. They didn't want to cry. They brought a bishop. They said the bishop shouldn't enter. The pastor Ayo is there. When the hearing came back, I went downstairs to meet Bishop. I said, Bishop, sir, I need your help. So, I said, she has gone. Bishop said, hey, she has gone? I said, yes, she has gone. Help me to tell mommy and that she has gone. She has gone. So I came down and said, she has gone. They said, Pastor, she has gone. What do we do now? I said, we'll call the doctor. This thing is not yours. The operation of the spirit is by connecting. It's not that you carry anything on your own. If Jesus said it, stop saying otherwise. Jesus said, I can of myself do nothing. If there is anyone that should have a reservoir, it should be Jesus. Just connect to the flow. Just connect to the flow. If the woman is not meant to die, she will come back to life. You know, now, I am announcing to you, Benga, we should stop burying those who are not meant to die. That is the season we are in. Stop burying them. There are commands from the Lord that we have not obeyed. These are the days of greater works. It's not an advice to heal the sick. It's a command. Heal the sick. Benga, cleanse the leper. Raise the dead. Peradventure, there was nobody to attend to the health before he died. Raise the dead. Stop telling me our assignment is to teach people to just mature. What maturity evades the command? What maturity? Maturity of your exegesis and homiletics. We should stop psyching ourselves. We should start obeying the Lord. None of you is permitted to die before your time. Ephesians chapter number 2 verse 10. Robashata baniasoke provesi. Ephesians chapter number 2 verse 10. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in. The matter of good work is not a circumstantial thing. It's a work. Whenever you see what the Lord is doing and you are doing it, you are doing good works. It's not circumstantial. It's not just about one out of seven events. It's a work. It's an ordination for you in Christ Jesus. You see, you cannot understand your new creation without understanding this part, that you are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And what are the good works? Whatever the Father reveals to you and you accomplish. And on a daily basis, he reveals to you. Except you look away. Hallelujah. There's a woman in my office. She's a Muslim. And she pays. She's the one that sought cash. Pays. She was sick. Two of them sick, Muslims. And the Lord will say, minister to her. But I'll say, these guys won't receive us. Then one day I saw her and I said, the Lord will have me minister to you. Said, I didn't say that, but I said, God will have me pray with you. Ah, she said, is it not prayer? Elijah, will you want to be prayed for? And she said, yes. After many weeks of being absent at work. So I said, I'll do it over the phone. Nevertheless, I'll do it over the phone. And I said, hold your phone, get me a bottle of water, and I pray. And she said, sir. So I've been in the same office with this man. 2 days ago, I was coming down from my office. She's perfectly okay. And she came to meet me. He said, sir, woni won ma fun yan ni ororo anointing oil. Mo fe titi. I want your own. She started getting close. Private matters. Now she comes to tell me, Elijah, the reason why you are not doing the good works is because you do not hear. You have a regime of a stereotyped perception of how it should go. Many of you are locked down to the four walls of your church, and the only activity that you call the will of God are around believers. I was in a lady's shop yesterday. I was buying stuffs and I said, can I talk to your girl? I said, I just perceive it's your girl's birthday tomorrow. He said, how did you know? I said, because tomorrow is my birthday. Ah, he said, it's a lie. Maybe you heard us when we were talking. I said, don't mind. But I just know the person who owns this shop shares my birthday. And I want to talk to her. Said, don't talk to her about birthday, because she's Jehovah's Witness. She wanted to put a barrier to the good works. So she quickly said, she's a Jehovah's Witness, so she wouldn't want to talk to her. I said, let her be an Hare Krishna. I want to talk to her. So I said, "Madam, happy birthday to you. Tomorrow happens to be my own birthday too." He said, "Ah, she told you." I said, "She did it." He said, "No." I said, "Yes, because the Lord told me." I said, "I don't understand, sir." I said, "Yes, that's what happened." He said, "My bed, how does it correlate? You came to buy stuff." I said, "Yes." I said, "How is the UK, man?" He said, how do you know I'm in the UK? I said, "Yes, that's what the Lord told me." I said, "This is strange." She said, "This is strange." I said, "It's meant to be, ma. But happy birthday. I expect your happy birthday tomorrow." And she said, "I will definitely call you. Please, can you leave your number? In fact, not more than happy birthday. I need to know you." The conversation begins. Jesus got to the well and stole the woman. He said, "You have been with 5 men. Whether all the people where you they marry, they die, I don't know. Whether not them they chase you away, I don't know. But even this guy you are with now, not be you get up." And the woman stepped aside. Good works are initiated by the Spirit. Are you listening to me? Because goodness is God's prerogative. And we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are meant to be stewards of his mysteries. Let me read 2 more scriptures. I'm just going to read and I'll pray with you. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. John chapter number 6. I read from verse. Okay, let me read from verse 24. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. When they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, "Rabbi, when camest thou thither?" Jesus answered and said, Verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him at the God the Father seal. Now, I love the dynamic expression of Jesus. He takes advantage of valid situations every time he speaks. Every time he speaks. And he said to those guys, it is the food that is motivating you. He started from there. And he now started talking about the real food. Do not labor about the meat that perishes. He came from that angle. And when he began to relate with them with the very positions that they could relate with, it became very valid in their heart, and they also became a bit more interested in what he was doing. And in verse 28, they said unto him, what shall we do that we might walk the works of God? He said, it's not the miracle. You are not yet interested in the miracles. It is just the fact that you are being sustained with bread. That's why you're coming. And they now got a bit interested. Okay, what shall we do that we might walk the works of God? Which we also refer to as good works. And Jesus said unto them, and Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God. He didn't say this is how to do the works of God. Did you notice that? They were asking for the procedure, and he was telling them the works. Because the works are not actually the miracles that happen. The works are the things that will bring forth the miracles. Are you listening to me? So stop looking for the hard and fast rules. Stop looking for the three ways to heal the sick. It's one major thing that makes all the works of God possible. And that thing is the work of God. Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. That's all. It's a pity that most believers today are unbelieving believers. If you believe him, you follow his ways. If you believe him, you will learn of him. You see, the real protocol is believe in whom the Lord has sent. There is no other way. Pastor was describing that to us in John 14, right? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Adhere to Jesus. Study him. I've told you two secrets about him whom he has sent. He waits totally on the Father. That's how to live. He said, these things I've spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. Drop all your principles of life. Take Jesus' own. That is how to live. Say to yourself, until I see the Father, I'm not ready. Always say to yourself, until I hear him, I'm not ready. You know, the biggest shortcoming to the way of the Spirit is that we know what to do. Let me tell you, oftentimes, it's only when we become helpless that we seek God. Nobody seeks God when they know what to do. They say it's crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy. Isn't it? It's crazy. They are offering you $1 million job and you are praying about it. Is it not crazy? Haven't you prayed before? And you are hearing God. What are you hearing God for? Several years ago, I used to have a neighbor who worked with Magnum Bank. And he was a neighbor on my street. I'm rounding up. A neighbor on my street. And one morning, the Lord took me in a vision. And I saw him on a big ship on the waters. And he fell in the water. They were looking for him. They couldn't find him. And the people came back to tell me that they didn't find him. I was anxious. They said he was dead. I said, dead? He said, yes. And they told me, he just got that job with big pay. And when I came out of it, the Lord said to me, go and tell him not to go for that job. That he just got a job that will take him offshore. I don't talk to him. He's just some guy on the street that we greet. How are you, sir? How are you, sir? And I was a young man. What would I call myself? What kind of thing would I say I saw? So I said, God, make the opportunity available. That very morning, to confirm it, as I stepped out of the house, he was driving out. And he saw me. And my heart was beating faster. And I just say, hello, hello, sir. He said, he had to wind down, wave to me very well. How are you, sir? I said, well done, sir. Hey! When it was weekend, one of the guys who was close to him and also close to me, that guy is late now, came to meet me in the house and said, I'm very happy for this man. He just got a job with one oil company, all this offshore thing. I said, hey! Then I said, God, I need to go and meet this man. Whatever he says to me, I don't mind. But in 3 days, I've been praying. I said, God, open this brother's eyes. I know you love him. So when I went to meet him, I said, sir, I'm so sorry. But I just need to talk to you. I'm not a prophet of doom. But I'm a prophet of boom, actually. I'm not a prophet of doom. I'm a prophet of boom. Boom. But in some circumstances, I think I should share this with you. And he said, please, sir, feel free. When I was sharing, she started shouting. He started shouting. What? Then he went inside and went to bring the package. There is no human being born of a woman that will get such a package. I will not do a special testimony and thanksgiving on the next Sunday. 2 weeks off, 2 weeks on, with all kind of package, travels and holidays for the entire family, this and that, and that and this. Even me, I needed to open my ears again to be sure it is the Lord that is speaking to me. Because whatever is nice, we call it good. And he said, but the day I went to collect the letter, I slept and slept off and suddenly found a coffin on my bed, sleeping on the same bed with me. And to the extent that when I moved on my bed, I felt like I touched the coffin. I now woke up. I was looking for the coffin on my bed. I didn't find it. I said, what is it? So I said, I went to meet my pastor and told my pastor, this is the dream I had. And my pastor said, it is those forces that want to hinder you from going forward. We are going to pray and bind them. I said, wrong interpretation, sir. I said, the Lord will witness in your heart if this is the way to go or not. He said, there is no witness to witness again. I am going to turn down the offer. Ha! I'm going to turn down the offer several years after, when he was transferred to Ibadan. He has become maybe Sterling Bank or something. He saw me in one provincial meeting in Redeemed, and he walked up and held the microphone and he said, you see this man? Listen to him. Listen to him. I don't know of any other person. Listen to this one. May the Lord open your ears. What should we believe in the one that God has sent? His operations. Study his operations. If you believe him, follow his operation. The two keys. Whatever I see the Father do, that's what I do. Ask the Lord to take you there. You know why he told you? You can't just go. He knows that it is the Spirit that activates sight and hearing. So he told the disciples, you don't have the wherewithal. Wait for the promise of the Father. You will be anointed with the Holy Ghost. Some of you think the anointing of the Holy Ghost transcends to some sensations in your body. No. It transcends to certain activations for living. If the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you don't live differently, it is not the Holy Ghost I know. You missed him. You didn't receive him. You are only reacting. That your falling down was resisting him. I've seen people who resist the Lord. While I've seen people who receive the Lord. A tongue of fire came upon every one of them. Every single. That's to tell you God's interest. It's not the. The portion of some selected few. Everyone that were numbered among them, the fire divided into cloven tongues. Are you ready this morning? I don't want to exceed my time. This is the work of God. What is it? Believe. Believe. You are stepping into new levels of realities. If we don't believe now, it will be altogether a waste of time. All these times we have put into fellowship and all. Believe him whom God has sent. How do we believe him? He's taught us how to live. Did you say, I believe Jesus? You must live his life. Because some things about him are not natural with men. I can talk about Jesus all day. The Jesus that say, learn of me. For I'm what? I'm meek and lowly. Because he knows that meekness is not regular with man. The lamb nature is not regular with man. It's not a constant with man. When a man tells you I'm humble, then you should suspect him. Say, I'm my humble self. Suspect him. He's a suspect. Jesus says, meekness takes learning. You have to be schooled. You see, you will have to be schooled. Because you will think you are humble. Just like Moses was called the meekest man. How can you be the meekest man in the earth when the Spirit does not dwell in you? He takes the Spirit to dwell in you. The Spirit comes upon you and go. And you say you are the meekest man. The meekest man in that time, that means it was a generation of arrogant people. It was a generation of very arrogant people. Because I saw the meekest man among them, I was shocked. The meekest man stayed in God's presence, enjoyed glory. He asked God questions that I consider to even be foolish. He said, show me now your glory. And God said, hey, I will not let you see my face. You know the meaning of the face of the Lord? The face of the Lord is the complete turn. All the sides of God. That's the face of the Lord. Hey, I don't have time. Go and study the Hebrew. The face of the Lord. When you say I'm seeking his face, you are seeking him manifesting. The complete face of the Lord is to extray God. The word in Hebrew is a complete view. Nobody has a complete view of God. You cannot. Till eternity, you can't get all the complete view of God. It's the God that reveals himself and still remains a mystery. And that guy stayed on Sinai. That Sinai was so guarded physically. You have not seen, if it was you, you have said, God, I need that kind of experience. No, I see younger people these days, they are looking for experience. There is no singular experience that transforms a man. It's a journey. Someone say, if I get to that meeting and the glory just come upon me, then I just get into the power. And I get into the power, it's a lie. In a few days, you will see that thing that is called man come back. Except it is an internal transformation, which the Spirit of the Lord does. That man was in Sinai, there was fire, there was cloud. People saw it, they took to their heels. When he was coming, he carried some of it on his face, but not in his heart. By the time he got to see the people, one kind of anger came upon the meekest man on earth. Everything he brought from the presence, yeah, bam! And your Lord is Buruku. Meekest man on earth. When you are near an Isha Lamberu, oh, Tia Beru, and you are an Isha. Oh, compare it to Muwalati no ina leru ina agbara. Oh, no, lo la malen waju boguenia. The meekest man on earth. So, when Jesus said, learn of me, he knows that you are not meek. It's a process. Let me tell someone, it's a process. When he talked about the Spirit, Jesus said, he will receive of me. Oh, you don't understand. He said, he will receive of, he will not speak of himself. What the Holy Ghost has come to do is to bring us to the Lord. To the Lord. To bring us into that divine nature that Jesus exemplified in the earth. So he said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. Lowly. And you find rest for your soul. We have seen levels of description of how he walks. The walks that he walked. Your team, which is the scripture of your team, is greater works. He knew confidently that if you can learn of him, you will do more. Are you ready? It's the same requirement in that same, is it John chapter 14, right? He said, if you believe in me, is that not what he said? The works that I do, you will do. Except these things I discuss with you about the way I operate, you don't believe it. If you believe, the works I do, you will do. Because he knows it is the same template. Once you step into it, the works that I did while I was here for 33 years, the flow continues. And greater ones will come. For time reasons, greater ones will come. You know why greater ones will come? There are certain challenges that were there, that are here now, that were not even there then. The Satan of our time has become more sophisticated. But the power of God has not changed. The same Jesus. The same Jesus. The same power. The same glory. Are you here this morning? Rise on your feet with me. You see, the real call of a believer is to believe. You don't understand. If there is anything we should be teaching every day, it is for us to believe. Faith is the active part of believing. The foundation of everything is believing. John chapter 17, this is eternal life, that you may know him. That you may know him. The word, the Greek word know there, shares the same root word with believing. I thought you would say, Lord, help my unbelief. Because some of us are guilty of Adam's sin. You know, the real sin of man was unbelief. Somebody said, the sin. I asked in a Sunday school years ago, I said, what was the sin of Adam? He said, he ate the fruit. No, that's an action. The real sin was he chose to believe something else. I believe in you. I believe in you. I believe in you. I believe. I believe in you.
I believe.